VoiceAmerica.com.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned, because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile. In the next hour, Dr. Pat showcases some of the world's most influential people in the fields of health, wellness, and human potential. Get ready to live life full out. Here's your host, Dr. Pat Basile.
All right, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. And what I mean by that is we're faced with decisions every day of our lives. And we get to decide whether we're going to continue to do the same old thing and go from moment to moment in the survival victim mode, or we're going to say yes to the abundance and unlimited prosperity in the universe. And every single one of us has the ability to do that. I'm Dr. Pat Basile, the host of the Dr. Pat Show. And this is still, by the way, the home of crust busting. So many of you have emailed me about the new website. You're loving it, and they're saying, have you given up crust busting? No. We're just taking a new look for the show, and we've got so many things to share with you about what we're doing this upcoming year. If you want to find out more, go to www.thedrpatshow.com. You know, John DeMartini in the intro talked about some amazing people, people that I get to have conversations with, people like my guest today. You know, when you're stuck at a certain point in life, you want to be able to turn to people that know what they're talking about, that are inspired about their lives and inspired about helping others. I'm talking about Dr. Eve Wood, psychiatrist, professor, award-winning author of There's Always Help, There's Always Hope. In that book, Trust in Your Capacity to Heal. And so Dr. Wood has put out another book, which is, again, a fabulous book, and really talks to integrating so many aspects of the way we live. 10 steps to take charge of your emotional life. The insights and tools she is going to share with us today are going to help each and every one of us resolve some of the issues we have. And what I love about Dr. Wood is when it comes to healing, when it comes to taking a different perspective, this is laid out in a way that every single one of us can understand it. You don't have to jump through hoops to understand concepts. You'll learn from the exercises, and you'll get a handle on your negative thoughts and your beliefs. Dr. Wood is a practicing psychiatrist and instructor, clinical associate professor of medicine at the University of Arizona Program of Integrative Medicine. And I am thrilled to have her here with me today. Welcome to the show, Dr. Wood.
Oh, I love being with you, Pat. And I really love what you were saying about talk radio to thrive by, because that's really what it's about. You know, it's not just how to overcome challenges and obstacles, but how do we get to a point where we're really thriving?
Exactly. And in your book, I mean, this is some of the things that I've been very, very eager to talk to you about. So many of us get used to, and I'm one of them, most of my life, I lived in a survival mode. Mm-hmm. You come from point A to point B, and when you get there, you're not even sure why you're grateful you're there, because you're so hooked on the next suffering or next challenge or next obstacle that you have to do. So you go from point A to point B, and our minds, our experiences, and our dreams are limited. But you break people through that in this book, don't you?
Yes, and you know, my goal really in this book and in my other books and all my work really is to empower people to take charge of their health, because at the end of the day, you know, each one of us is ultimately responsible for the life we create. But then we may have certain problems and roadblocks and challenges that we need guidance and help for. And if we don't get that, then we may stay stuck in that literal survival mode, maybe forever.
And that's a very painful place. In your experience, in working with so many people, I don't think that there are people that really want to be at that place. I mean, tell me if I'm wrong.
No, I agree with you. I mean, my experience, and I say this in this book and in other, you know, when I speak and so on, is that nobody wants to suffer. And nobody really wants to do a bad job at things. So if they're suffering, or if there's some failing, shall we say, in their job or their marriage or whatever, then there are reasons for that. And if people are given enough guidance and tools and ways to self-assess and like guidance about where to go for what kind of help and what can you do to you know, affect your own way of thinking and healing in your inner world, then you can shift that. You know, we can all begin to shift that. So that's really the goal, to do that.
Well, one of the things that I wanted to ask you is, I mean, the book is clear about what you're addressing, 10 steps to take charge of your emotional life. And I want to, I really want to zoom in on this because I think that we've talked about emotions. I mean, much has been said about it, but I don't know that we've brought the conversation to the level of how emotions really control our lives. And, and I wanted to ask you about that. You've obviously picked this aspect of emotion. How significant is how we manage our emotions in our lives? And is it even, am I using the right words, manage emotions? I mean, is that something we want to do?
Well, I think you are to a large extent. I mean, I would say how do we understand and honor our emotions, but a piece of that means managing them. And a piece of the of sort of doing that is really doing some sort of assessment of what are those emotions, what are those feelings, and what are they there to tell us. So in the first several steps of the book, I'm talking about considering your story and its lessons, and do you have a medical condition or a clinical diagnosis that requires some type of intervention? Sometimes our emotions or our feelings are a reflection of some type of medical condition or a clinical depression, anxiety disorder, thyroid condition, and so on. So there, the beginning part of the book is a bunch of self-assessment quizzes and checklists and ways to evaluate, might I have this? Because every one of these types of problems is diagnosed only on the basis of your symptoms and your story. So if you have an idea of how to begin to think about these things, then you can say, you know what, I think I might have one of these problems and maybe I need a medical assessment. And then I go on from there to talk about how to use medicine if it makes sense, how to include complementary and alternative interventions. And this is everything from herbal types of things to exercise, yoga, light therapy, and so on. And then onward to a lot of things that are about the feelings and the mind-body connection. So, you know, making life choices that fit your nature. And what does that really mean? Who are you? What do you feel? How do you choose things for your own success and fulfillment? Identifying beliefs that imprison you and how to change them. We all walk around with a lot of these, and we have very significant emotion tied to them. You know, if I tell myself I'm a failure, I feel pretty lousy attached to that, and so on. So, and then learning the language of our physical bodies, because, and how to then make friends with the inner healer, because our physical bodies often manifest our stresses and distress in physical symptoms, whether it's gastrointestinal or skin or lung or neurologic or, you know, fill in the blank. And then living in the power of possibility and hope and how to nurture spirit. So all of these things, in a very fundamental way, absolutely speak to what you're talking about, our emotional life, how to understand it, what to do about it, what is it trying to tell us, and how to sort of capitalize on what's fabulous about it, really, you know, because that's the goal, really. You know, exactly what you said, thriving as opposed to, I don't know, hanging in there or barely making it through the day or something.
Well, there's a friend of mine that uses a term that when I heard the term, I mean, she doesn't use it for herself, but she's used it to describe her life.
Mm.
Killing time until I die.
Oh, God.
Killing time until I die. I mean, that's essentially, you know what I'm saying?
Wow.
I mean, that.
Wow.
Think
that's
about that
extreme.
Statement.
Yeah, that's extreme. See, and to me, if I heard somebody say that, I would say, let's go through the criteria for clinical depression and see if you are feeling the need simply to kill time till you die because you have some chemical imbalance and you're really clinically depressed. Because a lot of times, that's what it is. And, you know, it's sort of like a passive suicidal ideation. Like, there's no point to living. I might as well, you know, not be here. Kind
right.
of thing, you know. So you have to wonder.
Well, and we do on a different scale, let's say, Dr. Wood, we do this kind of self-talk over and over and over again, and it seems very subtle. But at the same time, we're still putting ideas into our consciousness that are not necessarily the truth of who we are.
Oh yeah, and in fact, one of the things I talk a lot about in the book about the when I deal with the language of the body and when I deal with the you know reprogramming those negative thoughts is actually the fact that every single second, Pat, when we are saying those things like I'm killing time or whatever the negative thought is, every second we're affecting our nervous system, our neurotransmitters, our hormone levels, cortisol, and so on. And we are having a very powerful effect on our physiology. Just like if I say something positive, I choose health today, for example. In that moment, I am affecting myself neurologically and my whole system. So we feel better or worse, second to second, by what we literally say to ourselves, allow ourselves to say. And we can affect that. And we can affect it so that second to second something different is going on, and we can affect it so that in a bigger way we begin to shift some of those internalized beliefs that are problematic to make a bigger change.
Well, what you're talking about is becoming so powerful, almost to the point where when I received your book and looked at what you're bringing to the table for people, is you've come out as a practicing psychiatrist and are saying, it's not one side or the other. We can integrate modalities. We can integrate approaches.
Right.
So that people can have all that they need, because we're not necessarily one or the other as human beings.
Absolutely not. In fact, my experience over and over again has been that, let's say, medicine by itself doesn't work. I mean, not that it's not necessary a lot of the time,
mm-hmm.
but none of these things by themselves are adequate. And I'm always skeptical of any intervention or solution that's offered as the whole answer. Because we're whole people and we need a lot of answers and a lot of solutions for a lot of different aspects of who we are. So one of my greatest passions is to build those bridges across disciplines. Because I believe that so many practitioners and so many healing traditions and spiritual practices and ancient wisdom has a lot to offer us. And each one of us has a kind of a combination of tricks and solutions, in a sense, that make the most sense for us.
Well, and, what you're talking about is, we're going to take this in more detail as we go on with the show, because I want to make sure that everyone knows exactly what we mean. You know, Dr. Wood, for the longest time, because I'm so immersed, so to speak, because of my radio shows, the word alternative, it's as if everybody knows what we're talking about. And what I discovered the other day, as we become more far-reaching in terms of the people we connect with, there are people that don't have that level of knowledge. And you break it down in your book so that everyone can understand this. You don't have to be a practitioner. You can be somebody that is just curious about how to change their lives. Let's take a short break. When we come back, I'm here with Dr. Eve Wood. The book is 10 Steps to Take Charge of Your Emotional Life, Overcoming Anxiety, Distress, and Depression Through Whole Person Healing. If you want to find out more about Dr. Wood, go to our website, lots there. Also, you can get a copy of the book, and that is drdreevewood.com. We're going to take a short break here on Voice America. I am Dr. Pat Basile, the host of this show, The Dr. Pat Show. And when we come back, more with Dr. Wood. Get ready with your pen and your pencil in hand. Lots to talk about. Stay tuned, everyone.
The authority in Internet Talk Radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Hey, Julie, where have you been?
Benny, I just returned from a fabulous seminar with Karen Ramsey, learning about how my relationship to money is holding me back from living the life I want.
Well, I can't seem to save enough money to contribute to an IRA these days, but I think, it's just too late to start now.
Well, Benny, I see that you just bought yourself a latte this morning, and how many times a day do you do that?
I'd say like two or three times a day, but I mean, seriously, what's your point, Julie?
If you save the money you spend on just one latte a day, you'd easily be able to contribute $1,400 $100 a year to your IRA.
No kidding. I never thought about it that way.
Well, Karen Ramsey says it's never too late to start, no matter where you are. And the sooner you start, the better.
Well, you know, that's fine with people with money, but how can someone like me afford financial advice from someone like Karen Ramsey?
Well, you don't need to be wealthy to get excellent financial advice. In fact, why not tune into her new show beginning October 12th and learn about the myths about money that keep us from living the lives we're meant to live? And visit her on the web at caringmoney.com. That's caringmoney.com.
The Empowerment Partnership, empowering the lives of thousands of people around the world just like you. Their mission is to empower you with an understanding of what makes you and others tick, and to teach you the tools and techniques that will unlock your hidden gifts. The Empowerment Partnership. Whatever you think you are, you're more than that. To learn more, call 1-800-800-MIND or go to NLP.com. Mention the Dr. Pat Show to receive a special discount.
Huna is the ancient spiritual teachings of the people of Hawaii. Huna says, A'ohe pau ko ike iko halau. Think not that all wisdom is in your school. It's important to remember that no matter who you are or where you come from, there's always more to learn. Call 800-800-MIND or go to huna.com to learn about the March 10th through 18th Huna event in Kona, Hawaii. Mention the Dr. Pat Show when you call. The Huna Workshop and the Empowerment Partnership. Whatever you think you are, you're more than that.
Releasing the past and stepping fully into the present is now easier than imagined. Hi, I'm Sue Neufeld Ellis of QuantumHealing.us. Dr. Pat and I will be teaming up to give you many powerful ways to open the door to an extraordinary life. Tune in and discover how, starting February 15th. For more information and to receive 25 tips to reduce your stress, visit quantumhealing.us.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 866-472-5788. Now back to the program. Here's Dr. Pat Basile.
Welcome back, everyone, and thank you so much for listening and supporting the show. If you want to find out more about where we are and how many places the Dr. Pat Show is on, the best way to do that is to go to the website, www.thedrpatshow.com. And check out our schedule. We're live about 11 hours a week now and continuing to grow and explore possibilities of bringing this message out to you in a much greater way. And we do this by having conversations with people that are changing the world, people like my guest today, Dr. Eve Wood, practicing psychiatrist, as I said before, author, speaker, consultant. She is a pioneer in the field of integrative psychiatry, and we're going to talk about what that means. She has used 2 decades experience working with troubled individuals from all walks of life and developing an approach that involves both traditional psychiatric medicine, psychology, and universal spiritual principles. And we're going to talk about that because I think it's important to clarify for people what it means to be in this place of spiritual well-being and know the power that you can take to heal oneself. The book is 10 steps to take charge of your emotional life. This is a book and an invitation to overcome what's blocking you. Dr. Wood, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, I'm so thrilled, and I'm thrilled to hear about the growth of your influence and opportunity to share the word of empowerment, really. It's just fabulous.
Yeah, you know, it's one of these things where you wake up some point in your life and you realize that you're really good at something you never thought you'd be good at, and you then all of a sudden you have to take action. And that's a key component for a lot of
right.
us, including
right.
me.
Right.
You've got to take action. But, you know, how can we take action if we're emotionally stuck?
Right. And also, how do we, I mean, another thing that I'm also writing about, as you know, and teaching about all the time is not just how do we get unstuck, but what do we need to do to continue to nurture ourselves and support ourselves, and what are the things we tell ourselves, and who do we surround ourselves by, and, you know, all these other things that you're clearly doing in order to do what you're doing.
Exactly.
It's an ongoing process. Really.
Well, look at you as a pioneer in the field. I mean, who would have ever put these 2 words together? Integrative psychiatry.
Yeah, Well, and I always thought, well, I mean, all my training and everything I was going through all these years, you know, I went to this Ivy League medical school and blah, 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 you know, all these great places, and I'm sitting there thinking, something about this doesn't make sense, you know?
I've had that question, you know.
Wait a minute, you know, what does the patient think, you know? Or, well, maybe they have some ideas, or maybe we should ask them what worked in the past, or, you know, these kind of, and I'm like, where am I, you know? So, but you were raising this the question about, you know, what is, I think, integrative.
Well, exactly. Right? I mean, we have to talk about integrative before we can even get to this integrative psychiatry because, you know, most MDs, and I say that M as in Mary D, doctors,
yes.
You know, that are in the field of psychiatry, most that I've been in contact with, you know, they come from one school of thought and that is it.
Right, exactly. And that's the model, which has only, I think, gotten worse, unfortunately, just because our health care system is in worse shape, so you have less time to spend with anybody and, you know, and so on. The financing of it is a bloody mess. But that's been my experience all along in my training, too, that if people kind of had their little area of expertise and never spoke across the bridge, even the divide, you know, between even other medical practitioners, never mind, you know, somebody who might be, a yoga teacher or somebody that did massage or meditation with people or guided imagery or looked at the role of exercise or the role of nutrition or, you know, prayer for that matter. So to me, that never made sense. And thankfully, in the recent years, there's now a government body that is starting to look at what they're calling, oh, it's called the National Institute of Clinical and Integrative Medicine or something. Anyway, it's looking at what is complementary medicine, what is alternative medicine, what things might make sense, maybe that have been used for countless generations even, but haven't adequately been studied. So complementary interventions are things that would be used together with maybe traditional medicine. So, that might be, for example, using yoga along with an antidepressant, you know, to treat depressive illness, or adding singing to medication interventions for panic disorder. This is stuff that I do. Or cutting down on sweets while taking medication to decrease the symptoms of ADD. So that would be complementary. You're doing various things together. Alternative interventions are those that we might use actually in place of what has traditionally been thought of as,
uh-huh,
you know, the kind of the medical approach. And that might be something like using SAMe, which is a dietary supplement to help in ADD, or exercise, which aerobic exercise has been found to be a powerful antidepressant. So using regular exercise for moderate depression, maybe instead of a medicine, if you can get your body moving enough, you know. So that's a little bit about it. And to me, what my work is about is what I consider integrative, which is let's figure out how to draw from all these various realms and find the best personal solution for each person. And that might be any mixture of combinations based on their own story and what appeals to that person.
Well, what you lay out in the book, I love this, because we're talking about what is integrative medicine, and Dr. Wood just lays this out really clearly in the book, which I love. And you even include energy therapies.
Right. And it's so important because there are so many ways that we are healed and maybe harmed too, you know. But my focus is on what to do to heal and what to do to thrive, as you mentioned earlier in the show. And then there is a lot of growing interest in the role of energy. And in many ways, you see, I think love and healing and prayer and mind-body interaction is about energy. And then there are these various energy practitioners that are probably, tapping into something that will be found to make more of a difference over time.
Well, I love what you talk about. I mean, I think I'm trying to use, forgive me if I get this wrong, but I'm using my memory on this.
That's
but you actually go through a couple of pages where you talk about some of the therapies that are most used. And you go through it, and I remember that prayer for oneself was right at the top. it was almost, I think it was over 40%.
That's exactly right.
Is that right?
That's exactly right. Yeah, there have been a number of studies, survey-type studies done, looking at what sort of complementary, what we call complementary and alternative and whatever interventions people use. And prayer if you include prayer in the list, then it is the most common. And prayer for oneself, 43% of people will say that they do that. And prayer by other people, you know, for others, is very high too, to like 25%.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I mean, to me, this is makes absolute sense because it's something I personally relate to, you know, the role of spirit in my own life, and surely it's something I've always seen in my clinical practice. People will talk about it, you know, they'll bring in, you know, they're about their church or about, you know, whatever, their spiritual practice. And I, in my medical school training and in my many years of practice, you know, going to workshops and seminars and all of these things, CME, that was never talked about. Never.
No.
It's only in the very recent years that people have begun to talk about it and even write some books about, you know, maybe this is important, not just as a problem, because, you know, they would always talk about people be delusional, thinking they were God and stuff. But maybe this could be helpful. You know, maybe something about this realm could be helpful.
Well, and prayer comes up now in so many different forms. I mean, you know, there's a traditional thought, especially from a Christian perspective, but now we're finding that, you know, the spirituality seems to be what people are really longing for. And it is that practice of belief, of alignment in oneself and connection to the divine. And I think in so many cases, people have really started to write about this, they start to talk about it, and the masses, the majority of people relate to it. They may not call it what we call it, but they're plugging in and they're saying, wait a minute, I do have an inner power.
Right. I have an inner power. There's a bigger sort of source that can help me if as I tap into it, that I matter, what I do matters, that... you know, it's interesting because in the 10th step of the book, I talk about including the spiritual in your journey. And I actually go through, you know, many traditions. What are some of the universal view of self and meaning and purpose that carry over countless generations and many traditions in many cultures? And there are some very universal things that we're talking about right now. And we can find them through many types of belief systems and practice. But we have a longing for that, and I think there's a good reason. I mean, our brains and our bodies are organized to resonate with those messages and those practices.
Absolutely. We have got so much to talk about. This is such a phenomenal book. 10 Steps to Take Charge of Your Emotional Life. More importantly, Dr. Eve Wood, as I said before, is a pioneer in integrative psychiatry and also passionate about helping each and every one of us live life full out, overcoming obstacles, getting through distress, taking care of depression, and becoming that whole person that we have been born and really meant to be. This is such an encouraging book, and it comes right on the heels of your other book that I love. There's Always Help, There's Always Hope.
Yeah.
Which is fabulous. We also want to mention that if you want to find out more about Dr. Wood, go to the website, drevewood.com, drevewood.com. And when you get there, you'll find that she also has her own radio show on Hay House Radio.
Right. It's an internet show, so it's hayhouseradio.com. And people actually in the United States can call in toll-free during the show to ask questions. It's called Healing Your Body, Mind, and Spirit. And then the shows do get archived on the Hay House Radio website, so you can always listen to prior shows at any time.
Well, we've got so much to talk about. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back from break, we'll be back with Dr. Eve Wood. We're going to talk about the mind. We're going to talk about how we can reprogram some of the stories we have. This book is full of stories. That's what makes it so easy to read. and how important it is to share those stories and build connections. Dr. Eve Wood, as I said before, phenomenal in the field of integrative psychiatry, mind, body, spirit, healing. We'll take a short break, and when we come back, more with the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. Stay tuned, everyone.
The powerhouse of Internet Talk Radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Hey, Julie, where have you been?
Benny, I just returned from a fabulous seminar with Karen Ramsey, learning about how my relationship to money is holding me back from living the life I want.
Well, I can't seem to save enough money to contribute to an IRA these days, but I think, you know, it's just too late to start now.
Well, Benny, I see that you just bought yourself a latte this morning, and how many times a day do you do that?
I'd say like two or three times a day, but I mean, seriously, what's your point, Julie?
If you save the money you spend on just one latte a day, you'd easily be able to contribute $1,400 a year to your IRA.
No kidding. I never thought about it that way.
Well, Karen Ramsey says it's never too late to start, no matter where you are. And the sooner you start, the better.
Well, you know, that's fine with people with money, but how can someone like me afford financial advice from someone like Karen Ramsey?
Well, you don't need to be wealthy to get excellent financial advice. In fact, why not tune into her new show beginning October 12th and learn about the myths about money that keep us from living the lives we're meant to live? And visit her on the web at KarenRamsey.com.
Are you aware of the invisible forces behind your behaviors? The Empowerment Partnership is, and they'd like to make them visible to you. One of the largest NLP training organizations in the world, says Dun & Bradstreet. The Empowerment Partnership is the industry gold standard in trainings for NLP, hypnosis, and the ancient Hawaiian spiritual system of Huna. Their students come from a wide-ranging background: business, education, psychology, and spirituality. Their mission is to empower you with an understanding of what makes you and others tick, and to teach you the tools and techniques that will unlock your hidden gifts. The Empowerment Partnership. Whatever you think you are, you're more than that. Call 800-800-MIND or visit NLP.com and mention the Dr. Pat Show to receive a special discount.
Your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to discover what's preventing you or your business from obtaining your goals, dreams, and vision. The Inquiring Mind is your partner. Listen Fridays at 11 a.m. as Stephanie Durham, professional life coach, presents ACEs: Authenticity, Choices, Empowerment, and Success. Spanning 25 years of successful business tenure, in addition to over 4 years of training with Caroline Mace at the CMED Institute, Stephanie's authenticity and vast knowledge helps you objectively explore wise choices with her finely attuned facilitator skills, leading you to personal empowerment and ultimate success. Do you know you have power to create what you want in your life and in business? You do. This message will self-absorb in 5 seconds. For more information, call us toll-free at 1-866-461-6463.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 866-472-5788. Now back to the program. Here's Dr. Pat Basile.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back, and thank you so much for tuning into the Dr. Pat Show. My guest today is Dr. Eve Wood, as I said before, a pioneer in the field of integrated psychiatry. She has served on the faculty in the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine, is a former member of the Executive Committee of the Institute of Pennsylvania Hospital, currently a clinical associate professor of medicine at the University of Arizona Program in Integrative Medicine. Dr. Wood, you also have a small clinic and consulting practice in Tucson. Is that correct?
Yes, I do. It's like a juggling act, actually. But I do. And I absolutely love working with patients, so I don't think I'll ever stop doing some of that. If I do, I think I might as well hang it up, because that's where I also learn, you know, what I need to be sharing.
Well, you know, and that's obviously that's your passion, and doing it in a way that speaks to what you put in your books. And the book that we're talking about is your latest book, of course, 10 Steps to Take Charge of Your Emotional Life.
Yeah.
But this is a passion for you to really to not only just look at integrative psychiatry, but take an integrative look at certain ways that we work in medicine. You and I were talking during the break about how we categorize certain people.
Right.
And what that means, and how that can not only become a way to, let's say, work with them from a conventional point of view, whether it's prescription, but on the other hand, it's also a way to categorize them to a sentence that might become a life sentence.
Right, right. And we were talking a little bit about ADD, for example, and, you know, maybe the growing labeling of kids and so on with that as a possibility. So, you know, what I say in the beginning part of the book is the importance of making these proper diagnoses of, let's say, ADD, which I discuss in the book, of course, checklists and so on, or depression or anxiety, is really only to know that we're speaking a common enough language so that we can use interventions that have been studied for that problem to see if they will help the individual. Beyond that, I don't really think it's useful or helpful to get too bogged down in the name or the labels. And in fact, a big piece of the work in my mind is figuring out what's going on, what to do to address it in the best way diagnostically, and if there's medicine, whatever, do that. And then, where do we go from here? How do we move on? And one of the things you and I were talking about briefly in the break is that sometimes what can happen is we can use, or people can begin to use, the diagnosis or the label as an excuse or as a way to really, in my mind, disempower themselves so that then they don't move on from there to learning the other skills and the life interventions and all of the fabulous things that can be done to make a bigger difference.
Well, you know, one of the reasons I brought it up, and you and I were kind of sharing this, is I've come across a couple of people that have said to me, and more than one person, you know, gee, Pat, you know, are you like ADD? And I would look at them and I'd say, well, I don't know. I've never really, I'm really post the ADD era. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was young when ADD wasn't around. And you wonder, and you ask, well, why would you say that? And the answers come back like, well, you know, you're really kind of rebellious, you know, you're really out there. And you know, being out there, I've had it on every corporate performance review I've ever had. I've been rated very highly in the corporate world, and yet every review has had some comment, which, and this leads to my next topic, some comment that says, well, you know, outstanding, does fabulous work, and you know, she's really out there. I think she's maybe like on another planet. And so we get these labels, and it gets embedded in our minds. And in the book, you address this straight out and thinking about the mindsets. So how do we, Dr. Wood, how do we overcome the labeling, overcome, you know, the self-talk? Because this is clearly going to, you know, interfere with us living the lives we want to live. And you address this in the book.
Yeah. I mean, it's such an important thing. You're raising a lot of things, but two very striking ones stand out for me. One is, you know, the label and people saying, you know, well, maybe you have this or you should have this and this label and then so on. And one of the things I talk a lot about is only, you know, each one of us at the end of the day knows whether or not certain symptoms or challenges that we have are troubling enough to require, let's say, medicine or whatever other names and interventions. And, you know, if we have enough tools and enough guidance, we can begin to figure out, might this apply to me? But then, ultimately, only we know, with the right help, what we ought to really do about it. And I do have a concern that we're at times over, for want of a better word, labeling and medicating and, you know, all of that. And the other thing that you're raising, which is very important, is, you know, what do we do with these beliefs that become internalized, you know, that we might carry around because we keep hearing things like, you're so out there.
Yeah.
You know?
Now I take it as a compliment.
Yeah, I was going to say, thank God you are. You wouldn't be doing that, what you're doing out there on Voice America all over the place, you know? You know, that's the strength of it. Honestly, that's the gift of it. But we have to do a lot of work sometimes to identify those ideas that we're carrying around that don't serve us well.
Exactly.
And when they don't, we can literally change them. And I teach people in this book how to literally reprogram those brain circuits, what to, how to identify some of those thoughts, and then what to begin to say and tell yourself instead in an ongoing way so that you interrupt that sort of negative circuit and replace it ultimately with a different one.
Well, you know, I love what you're talking about because, you know, for most people that are listening to this show, there's a point that I think I want to make, and that is it doesn't have to be this shouting, nagging, negative voice. We can have very subtle thoughts that are showstoppers.
Right. It usually isn't actually shouting a negative. I mean, sometimes it is, but usually it isn't. And I give a lot of examples in the book of, you know, working with people and their stories, and then we discover what this thought is. And then as we work with it, it becomes increasingly clear to the person how prevalent it is. But it isn't necessarily obvious. It can become obvious, but it isn't necessarily. So you're right. Most of what we kind of walk around with that hangs us up is not right there screaming on the surface. Some of it is, and I talk about how to sort of find that right away. But a lot of it is a little bit more subtle.
It is.
Yeah.
And more persistent.
Right. More. It's sort of like the princess and the pea. You know, there's all this stuff on top of that pea. But there's that pea, and she's, with all those mattresses, she's still feeling the impact of that pea. And for a lot of us, we have those little peas, or what, for want of a better way of thinking of it, because it's a great visual image, you know, that are causing this ongoing distress or leading us to make repetitive choices that are not good for us, the same type of choices, repeating patterns we don't understand.
And it comes up in subtle ways. Now, let's give some examples, because I love the way you go through this book. As a matter of fact, there are stories in the book. I mean, you have a story with Gabe that you talk about misconceptions, and that's what I love about
My son with the broccoli.
Yes.
Yeah. It's about stuck thinking, you know. When my kids were little, I have four now, but, you know, when Gabe, my second one, was really little, we were going through this time, you know, where they had to start to eat vegetables, you know.
Yeah.
And so I didn't make them eat a lot, but I would say you have to at least taste the vegetable, you know, have a couple bites of the vegetable. And Gabe is a very stubborn kid. I am too. So he's very stubborn. He didn't want to taste it. He kept insisting that he wasn't going to. So night after night, he would have a warning and he'd have a chance. And then if he wouldn't, you know, taste whatever the vegetable was, he would be carried off to his room and that would be the end of dinner. So this would happen day after day after day, you know, this ensuing arguments and stuff. And by about the fourth or fifth night, you know, the same routine. It was broccoli that night, you know, on the plate. He had to just taste the broccoli. Well, and of course he insisted he didn't like it, having never tasted it before. So finally that night, as he's about to be carried off, you know, to the bed, it's like the last warning, he puts the broccoli in his mouth, and he likes it. He's like, he starts eating it, he asks for more, you know, he's eating it. He says, you know, Mom, I really like broccoli. You know? And I said to him, well, Gabe, wouldn't it have been easier if you would just have tried it in the first place? You know, you were so convinced you didn't like it, but you never tasted it.
But that's, you know, he probably got the skinny on this from either friends, family, television, who knows where it comes from. And, you know, we get to create these things of what's good and what's bad. And, you know, it's really interesting that we're talking about this, because I was joking about this being on another planet thing. I suspect that people kind of thought that of you as well.
I didn't tell them. Let me tell you something. For many years, what happened for me, I was in full-time clinical practice. I saw 45 hours of patients every week, and I was turning away people. Because what would happen was, in the privacy of my office, I would work with people. You know, in there's always help. I tell a lot of the longer stories of some of those journeys I went through with people, you know, trying to understand them, trying to help them figure out how to heal and so on, and they kept getting better. So they kept referring more patients. Other doctors would send me patients. My patients would send me patients. But I didn't tell anybody. I mean, I didn't have time, but I also didn't make a big announcement. Guess what, guys? I'm doing what you don't do. You know, I just did what I did. And they just got better, and they got better. And so finally, I started getting that I needed to share it in a bigger way, because they kept coming in and saying, well, how come nobody ever explained it like this before? Or just like you said, you make it sound simple. Or I get what you're talking about. I can do that. And a lot of my patients were doctors and, you know, healthcare lawyers. I mean, they were people who were knowledgeable, sophisticated, and believe me, if the information was out there, they would have had it. So I didn't really talk about it with my colleagues because I knew 100% guaranteed that if I started telling the hundreds of psychiatrists that I knew in Philadelphia that this, you know, I was thinking about spirit and I was thinking about what else works and what matters, and if a patient, you know, felt it helpful to make quilts and bring them into the session, we would look at quilts and talk about life, you know, they would have thought I was nuts.
Yeah, you would have been on the planet, the same planet as me.
Yeah, so I just didn't tell them.
Exactly. Yeah, this would be us. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus.
Yeah.
Dr. Eve and Dr. Pat are on planets yet to be named. Let's take a short break.
Exactly.
And when we come back, more with the Dr. Pat Show. My guest, Dr. Eve Wood, the book is fabulous. We're going to talk about how to shift some of these thoughts so that each and every one of us can thrive. We'll take a short break and we'll come back with the Dr. Pat Show. Dr. Eve Wood, 10 steps to take charge of your emotional life. We'll be right back.
Listen wherever, whenever, VoiceAmerica.com.
Would you like one of the most rewarding sales jobs of your life? The Dr. Pat Show has rapidly grown into the number one radio show to thrive by. The Dr. Pat Show is hailed for its remarkable guests, sponsors with integrity, and amazing listeners. Dr. Pat is in search of a creative, self-starting, energetic person to join the marketing team. If you're interested in helping promote and sustain the Dr. Pat Show, please submit your resume to pat at the drpatshow.com. Again, that's pat at the drpatshow.com. This is your opportunity to make a difference in your community and the world.
New Times Naturally magazine is Tampa Bay's natural health magazine, now in their 20th year, covering body, mind, spirit, nutrition, physical fitness, yoga and Pilates, supplements, meditation, natural products, mental health and strength, spiritual growth, eco-earth, and more. Search for local business feature stories, media, and product reviews, and an extensive calendar of events. Pick one up at your local business today or visit newtimesnaturally.com. That's newtimesnaturally.com.
Hi, this is Mark Victor Hansen, and you know me for the chicken soup for the soul, but right now I want to tell you that you got to listen to my friend Dr. Pat. If you want insights that are out of sight, if you want to go to the next level in your life, you keep listening to this show, because she is so kind and generous that she even lets me recommend my website, markvictorhansen.com, and if you go there, we want to give you goodies. But Pat is giving you the goodies of a bigger, better mind-brain complex so you can get results that have results that are residual, so you get to have money freedom, time freedom, spiritual freedom, relationship freedom, and go to the highest level, which she's teaching you, which is your genius freedom.
Huna is the ancient spiritual teachings of the people of Hawaii. Most people who study Huna want to know more about themselves and the world around them. If you are interested in a more spiritual view of the world and want to discover a whole new universe around you, then Huna is for you. Call 800-800-MIND or go to huna.com to learn about the March 10th through 18th Huna event in Kona, Hawaii. Mention the Dr. Pat Show when you call. The Empowerment Partnership. Whatever you think you are, you're more than that.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 866-472-5788. Now back to the program. Here's Dr. Pat Basile.
Welcome back, everyone, and thank you so much for listening to the show. I want to let you know that in a few weeks, we're going to have a way for you to chat with us online so that you can ask us questions and comments, and we'll have that right on our website. And as we've said before, we'd love to hear from you. If you've got a question or comment for me, you can send it to pat@thedrpatshow.com. My very special guest today is Dr. Eve Wood, and as I've said before, she is a leader in the field of integrative psychiatry and best-selling author. And we're talking about her latest book, 10 Steps to Take Charge of Your Emotional Life. You know, Dr. Wood, let's just mention for everyone your website one more time. And if they want to hear you on Hay House Radio, could you give them that website as well?
Absolutely, absolutely. So my personal website, and by the way, the information is on the homepage of my website too, is drevewood.com, drevewood.com. And the radio show that I do, it's live Tuesdays, 3 p.m. Pacific time. But again, it's archived. But if you want to call in, of course, you would want to listen to the live show.
Yep.
And that's HayHouseRadio.com. So it's H-A-Y, with Hay House is the publisher, HayHouseRadio.com.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. I know the hour just goes by very quickly. And as you and I talked about before the break, it's important to have people have a sense that they have the power within them to change these words. This, you know, I'm fat and ugly. I mean, it's really interesting. One of the top rated television shows is a show called Ugly Betty.
Ugh.
You know, and it's a show that shows that this individual may be not totally appealing on the outside, but her spiritual presence is so powerful, and who she is so powerful. And it's really an interesting play on ideas, but yet at the same time, there is this level of consciousness that we embody. How do we break through this stuff?
Well, you know, I love that because we're so drawn to the ugly because we focus, you know, we focus on that negative, and it sort of ropes us in. But, you know, one of the things we were talking about briefly in the break is that one of the stories I share in the book is the story of a woman named Carol who used the power of her mind to literally change her body in dramatic ways. And it's an example of what we're capable of, really, of the power to affect dramatic change. This is a woman who was a runner, and she wanted to compete for the Olympic team in running. And she took off a year from her job. She was a teacher, rented an apartment or whatever, house, near a track so she could train every day in order to be ready for the qualifying races. And then what happened was, right when she was about to start her training, she suffered a very significant injury, and she actually, to her leg, and she couldn't even stand or walk. And it was very clear that it was something that would take many, 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 many months to heal, and in fact, it wasn't realistic for her to physically train for this qualifying event. Of course, they happen only every 4 years.
Right.
So what she did was she actually got tapes, you know, VCR-type tapes, of all of the prior races and the winners in her category in the Olympics for many years. And what she did was she watched those tapes over and over and over again. She slowed it down. She watched frame by frame. She envisioned herself in the tapes only. She envisioned herself doing better than every one of those runners. And then when she could finally stand, she got to the point where she would stand on the track and envision herself running. And then when she could start to walk, she walked the track and so on. And she actually was not able to physically run the course until the day of the qualifying event.
Oh.
And she bandaged up her leg with all kind of stuff and God knows what, you know, and some kind of numbing medicines, I'm sure. You know, and went literally to the qualifying race. And she qualified. She was able to physically qualify for the race by using her mind in all those other ways. She had literally changed and trained her body enough to be able to run the kind of time she needed to on that one occasion to qualify for the team.
Well, she also had to eliminate any inkling of doubt at all.
Absolutely.
Because doubt is the showstopper in our lives.
Exactly. Exactly. She was only about, I'm going to do this. I'm doing this. And, right, any little second that something began to creep in that would say, she would absolutely shut it off and say, I'm not going there. And we can all do that. You know, we can all learn how to do that.
Every one of us can do that. And that's the message that I know I take out in my show. I know that you take out. This is not just something for a handful of people. You know, we tend to look at the world, and especially in this country, we're so hooked on the celebrities. We tend to look at the very few percentage of people. And we look at them and we say, that's them. We can never achieve what we want in our lives because they're special.
Right.
But that's not what you talk about.
No, I really, really deeply believe that every one of us is special, that every one of us is needed in the universe, has a special divine piece, and I see my role as doing my best to help bring that forward, help other people and themselves bring it forward, but, you know, do it, my little piece, to bring that forward, because we all need what each other has to offer.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you wrote this book, when you sat down and said, I am going to write this book, what was your vision for this?
My vision has been, you know, ultimately to transform our world, to transform the way we understand challenge, to build a level of empowerment, and also, I don't know, partnering across disciplines in the health system, in the healing world, so to make as many people healthy as possible. And then ultimately, of course, as you say, beyond healthy, you know, fulfilled, thriving, joyful, experiencing really the depth of fulfillment that we're all capable of, and doing my part to participate in that.
Well, you certainly have done that. I mean, the book is absolutely fabulous. There's so much more in here to talk about, especially when you get into the chapters about the body, because you don't stop at the mind. You really talk about the body and really guided imagery for honoring our body's language and so forth. And this is a major breakthrough.
Well, thank you. I mean, I really felt that I needed to start doing that. You know, it's like, okay, enough of this. Let's like get down in there. And how are we going to do it, really?
Yes, exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And it is about sharing stories and building connections. That's step eight in your book.
Right.
And we do not do that well anymore. You know, we come from a storytelling culture of some sort, but not quite like other indigenous cultures. But yet it's so important to share the stories. And you talk about that.
Yeah, see, so much of what people for generations just automatically did because they lived in more stable geographic community over many years and so on, and the degree to which people were sharing their lives with one another was deeply healing. And we have a culture now that in almost every way makes it, I don't want to say impossible, but very, very difficult to do that. And we know that our immune function, our vulnerability to disease, is very much affected by the depth and number of connections in our lives. So I'd show people in this step how to begin to assess where they are in that realm and what they can maybe begin to shift a little bit to build in more of those healing connections that are necessary for wellness.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Wood. This has been a fabulous conversation. I'm totally jazzed about it, so much so that I'm going to continue this conversation on my 11 o'clock show and mention the book for folks there. Thank you so much for all that you are and all that you do.
And thank you, because without you, I wouldn't be able to help some of the people who you're helping. So
all right.
Fabulous.
Let's create our own planets together.
That's it. I'm on.
All right. Thank you all for listening to the show. Again, I want to thank you so much for your support and joining me on the journey. And without your support, it would be a very difficult journey. And I want to thank everyone here at Voice America for the fabulous job that they do each and every week bringing this show to you all. So much of the connection is based on the energy and the vibration we create. Think about what you're going to create today, not just for yourself, but for someone else. And remember, you have the power to thrive. I'm Dr. Pat Basile. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to The Dr. Pat Show, radio to thrive by. To contact Dr. Pat, visit thedrpatshow.com. Tune in next Tuesday for another dynamic hour of The Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile.